So, Father, we come, we open our hearts, we open our Bibles, and Lord, we recognize that you are the one who opens our mind to the truth. So, Lord, we ask that as we read through this word, that you would provide grace for understanding this morning. We are dependent upon you. You are the vine, and we are the branches. Allow the life-giving sustenance from your word to feed us as your branches this morning, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Friends, last week we began to consider what it means as Christians to abide in Christ. And we learned that the word abide describes a relationship, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may have been at some point in your life, you may have been in a conversation with someone where they referred to your religion. And you corrected them when you spoke and you said, you know, it's not a religion, it is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we've had those kind of conversations where people are talking about religion. You say, no, it's a relationship. And they get a puzzled look on their mind. What is it that you're trying to communicate with them? Well, you try to explain what is it that this relationship with God is like. Could you compare it to a friendship? Some people might say, well, yeah, Jesus is my best buddy. Maybe not. Or how about a strong brotherhood where Jesus would die for you as he did and you're willing to die for him? It's a strong brotherhood. There's brotherly love in the body of Christ. Jesus is your brother who has come from the Father. You've been adopted into the family and now we are brothers together. Maybe you would describe it as a father-son relationship, where he is a father, we are the sons, we've been adopted into Christ's family. There is authority, there's love, there's respect. All of this is recognizing that God has given us life. As a father brings life to a son, so our Father has given us life in Christ. Some people would describe this relationship as a bride and a bridegroom. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that Christ is the bridegroom and we are his bride. And this is a relationship of love. It's a relationship of passion and commitment that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that Jesus, defining this relationship here in the Gospel of John chapter 15, as a vine and its branches, really helps us to gain insight a little bit further into this great relationship that we have with God through Christ. When Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He is the vine and we are the branches and we are connected to him in a vital union, a real relationship, a vital connection that we have with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the true vine. The true vine. He said, I am the true vine. And as we've gone through the Gospel of John, we recognize that there have been 7 times when Jesus said, I am. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the living water. There are 7 statements that Jesus spoke saying, I am, ego eimi, I am. And here he's saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. We learned last week that when Jesus said, I am the true vine, he's comparing it to all of the Old Testament revelation of understanding that Israel was a vine. We looked at Psalm 80 last week and we saw how Israel was brought out of Egypt and planted in a good land. As a vine is planted in some healthy soil, so God brought his people out and planted them there in the promised land. And he said he brought a vine out of Egypt and planted them in choice land. But then we saw how the deterioration of the nation took place. And Jesus comes and says, listen, I am the true vine. All of the scripture that speaks of a vine, Jesus says, I am the true vine that has come. And my Father, well, you see, my Father is the vine dresser. He's the farmer. He's the caretaker. He's the one who cares for the vine. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. We looked at this last week and I thought it was so beautiful when we saw that God the Father, who is the farmer, every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he lifts it up. He lifts it up. And he puts it on the arbor so that it has plenty of sunlight. It's getting nutrition from the vine, and it's up there so that it's not dragging on the ground. In the same way, Jesus has lifted our lives out of the dirt of the earth and caused us to be one with Christ. And then he prunes us. And we saw last week that this original word in the Greek language meant to cleanse. It's a word that speaks of cleansing. And he says, not only does the Father lift us up and put us on his arbor, he washes us, he cleanses us, he prunes us. If there's a part of our lives that is not productive as far as bearing fruit, he may prune that off. It falls away from our lives so that we might bear good fruit. And Jesus spoke to his disciples in verse 3 and said, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And the disciples were declared to be clean through faith in God's living word, Jesus Christ. They trusted in the Lord and they believed the gospel. And Jesus said, you are clean. You are clean through the word that I have spoken to you. And there were 5 points that I introduced to you last week. We only made it through the first two. We'll continue on. Those 5 points from last week were, number one, who is the vine? And we found that vine, that true vine, is Jesus. Second point was who maintains and cares for the vine. And we looked at that as God the Father is the one who is the vine dresser. And he cares and maintains the vine of Christ. The third point that we'll get to this morning is what is a true believer's relation to the vine? The fourth point, what is the evidence of a true believer's union with a vine? And lastly, what kind of fruit does the vine produce in its branches? Let's begin with the first question. What is a true believer's relation to the vine? What is that? Well, the illustration that Jesus uses is that we are a branch. We are a branch that is in a living and natural union with the vine. What we understand is that the branch did not produce the vine. It's natural that the vine produces the branch. Jesus is described in living union with the branch. This is the place where the vital life of the vine is moving through that union into the branches. And any branch that is not joined in a living union with the vine is a dead branch. And a dead branch can't possibly produce any fruit. In John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, because all true believers abide in a vital union with a vine, they naturally will produce fruit. So true believers are those whose branches now abide in the vine of Christ. Last week, we discussed this word a little bit, the word abide. The Greek word meno. And it describes something that remains where it is. It continues in a fixed state or it endures. Meno is to remain. is to remain. You put a foundation on your home, and that foundation is dug down deep into the earth. And that foundation, my home was built in 1881. That foundation has remained in the same place since 1881. So it is that the branch, the true branch, will abide, will remain in Christ. Abide is a, well, it's a relational word. It's a relational word. Through faith, we have been joined in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday I performed a wedding. Beautiful wedding, beautiful surroundings. And I was confronted once again with the fact that God is able to take one man and one woman and bring them into a union where He says, and the two shall become one flesh. One flesh. And in the book of Ephesians, He says, this is a mystery. This is a mystery. How can two become one? It's a mystery, He said, but I speak of Christ and the church. In that, He's speaking of this abiding union wherein we are made one with Christ. And as we move on in the Gospel of John, when we get to chapter 17, Jesus is going to be praying His intercessory prayer for us, His saints. And He's going to say, Father, let them, they are in Me as I am in You. And He's speaking of this union, this vital union wherein we are one with Christ. Just as the branches are in the vine, so true believers are in Christ. If you go through the Bible and if you have a concordance and you look and you're studying the Bible, you look at words like in Him or in Christ. And there's a multitude of verses that come forward. One of my favorite is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. It says, in Him, that is in Christ, in that vital union with Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So if you were depicting this in a picturesque way, you see that the branch is connected to the vine. And as it is connected to the vine, then there is redemption that flows. There is, through the blood of Christ, there is forgiveness of trespasses. There is a riches of God's grace that is flowing into this wonderful branch that Jesus has united with Christ the vine. Think about this. A branch remains in the vine. It remains in the vine despite the heavy snows that will come in the wintertime. The branch remains in the vine despite, oh, the torrential downpours of a spring season or the hard and difficult days of summer when the sun is just squelching hot. The branch remains. It abides in the vine. Regardless of the difficulties that come, and we all face a plethora of difficulties in life, and yet we remain in Christ because we are the planting of the Lord for His glory. By grace, through faith in Christ's atoning sacrifice, we have been joined with Christ the vine, and now we live our lives in Him. It is in Christ that we live in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Speaks of that. It says, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus, so walk in Him. When you read the word walk in the Bible, it means to live your life. He's speaking of walking. Here's how we live. We walk. We live our lives in Christ, connected to Christ, joined to Him in a union of His grace. He says, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. In verse 8, it says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. So you see, whenever you're reading through the New Testament, in the epistles, and you're reading in him, think of the vine and the branches, because you are in Christ. To abide is to remain steadfast. To abide is to remain at rest in him. Despite all of the philosophical or pseudoscience deceitfulness that masquerades in our world as knowledge, you remain in him. You remain in him. People have all kinds of ideas and philosophies of life, but because you are in Christ, you understand that all that you need for life, all that you need for godliness, all that you need for philosophy is found in the pages of God's Word. And you rest in that. And you're secure in that. And your life comes from Christ because he's divine and you are the branches. The simplicity of Christ is wiser than the greatest philosophies or theories of men. The second point that we get to this morning is, what is the evidence of a true believer's union with the vine? How do you know? How do you know that you're connected? What is the evidence of your union with Christ, the vine? John chapter 15, verse 5 puts it very simply. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Therefore, the evidence of a true believer's union with Christ is the fruit of Christ in your life. The fruit of Christ in your life. What does that mean? Well, it is his nature, it is his character that's flowing from him into you. And Paul writes to the Galatians, and you're very familiar with this, which is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And he's describing you in connection with Christ. You, the branch connected to the vine, and through Christ is flowing in your life those characteristics of love, of joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. You can go back to Exodus 34 and see that this is the nature of the Father. You can read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you can find that this is the nature of Christ. So as we see that this is the nature of the vine then will flow through all of the branches, will it not? An apple branch, because it's connected to the trunk of an apple tree. And the fruit of an apple will grow on an apple branch because it's connected to the branch that is connected to the trunk. And so it is that the very nature of Christ, as is described through his word, will flow through you. It will flow through you. And the fruit of that will be love, joy, peace, patience. And I've always said that the place where people should eat and taste of that fruit is in your home. Your wife, your husband should be the one who tastes of that fruit. Unfortunately, they're usually not, because we can be ourselves at home. And when we are ourselves at home, it's not necessarily so godly all the time, is it? And yet, if that is the nature of Christ and he's flowing in you, then patience and gentleness and kindness will be the fruit of that. Do we fulfill that perfectly? No, we do not. But as we grow in Christ, these are the things that will be filling our lives. This is the fruit that will grow. Is there other fruit? Certainly there is other fruit that will grow. If you read in Hebrews chapter 13, 15, it speaks of the fruit of worship, the fruit of lips, he says, and that is our worship. So there's a worshipful fruit that comes forth. In Romans chapter 6, verse 22, Paul speaks of the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end is eternal life. The fruit of sanctification, the fruit of Christ in you, which leads to sanctification. In Ephesians 5, verse 9, he speaks of the fruit of in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we see that this goodness, righteousness, truth, these things also are described through the New Testament as being fruit. And because you are a branch that is attached to the vine of Christ, these are the things that should be growing in your life. Now, we would all agree today, I believe we would all agree that the vine, Jesus, is good, right? He's a good vine. Is that correct? Yeah, he's a good vine. Not a trick question. He is a good vine. Therefore, all the branches that are abiding in him should produce good fruit, should they not? That makes sense. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus instructed his disciples how to recognize false prophets. These are guys who work their way into the church. They might be called wolves in sheep's clothing. They're false prophets. They look like prophets, but they're false. And they enter into the church, and Jesus is saying, listen, guys, in Matthew 7:15, he says, be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And then Jesus gets very practical with an agricultural society, and he says this. He says, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No, of course not. In verse 17, so every healthy tree produces good fruit, but the diseased tree, well, that produces bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruit. In Luke chapter 6, verse 43, Luke says, he's saying the same thing as Jesus speaks. He says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. So Jesus compares these wolves to dead trees, bad trees, bad trees that produce bad fruit. And bad trees that produce bad fruit are good for one thing, firewood. That's all they're good for, firewood. You can cut it up, you can burn it. That's the only thing that it's good for. Now, the comparison of the branches who abide and the branches who do not abide is very much like that comparison that Jesus brings between good trees and bad trees. After all, these false prophets were in the church. And he's saying, here's how you're going to recognize them. You're going to recognize them by the fruit. If they show love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, that's a good tree. If they're showing anger, malice, hatred, sexual impurity, all of these above, that's bad fruit. A pastor that I sat under for a lot of years said, do you know how to recognize wolves in the body? I said, no, how do you recognize them? He said, by their diet. Because you see, wolves eat sheep. You have somebody that comes into the body and they start devouring the sheep. That's a wolf. No matter what he says, that's a wolf. Okay. But one who loves. One who promotes peace between brothers. One who expresses kindness. Who is gentle. One who is self-controlled even under fire. This is the fruit of God's Spirit at work. Then we see, you know what? This is a good tree. And a good tree produces good fruit. And what's happening here is Jesus is showing these disciples the church is going to grow. The church is going to multiply. And in all the places where the church is going to go, there's going to be wheat and there's going to be tares. Remember that when Jesus said there's a field, the owner of the field went out, he planted good seed. Someone, an enemy came and he planted tares in the same field. And his servants came and said, what am I supposed to do? An enemy has done this. And he said, Jesus said, just let them grow until the end. at the end of time, then the reapers will go and they will separate. They will bring the wheat into my barns and they will burn the tares. What is he saying? He's saying this church that will go throughout all of the land is going to have both wheat and tares in it. But the wheat, you see, is connected to the vine. It's a branch that's connected to the vine and it will produce good fruit. As the church went on in the church age, John, who was the oldest of all of the disciples, who actually grew to be the oldest of all of the disciples, well into his 90s, writes his epistle. And in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, John says this. He says, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued," the word meno, remain or abide, "with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us." Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because Jesus said, a true vine will remain. He will abide. John, looking at the church many, many years later, sees that some who were in the church, these false prophets, those who he says have the spirit of Antichrist in them, they were a part of the church, but they left. And John said their leaving showed that they never belonged to us in the first place. They were bad trees. They were wheat. They were tares among the wheat. And they left showing or proving that they were really never a part of us to begin with. We thought they were, but then they showed us who they truly were when they left and they did not remain. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this portion of the Gospel of John, said, "There may be times when true believers have lapses, when they fail to be fruitful in their life in Christ. But true branches through whom the life of the vine flows cannot ultimately fail to produce fruit." There may be lapses when I'm not patient. My wife knows that. My children know that all too well. There may be lapses where I am not kind. There are lapses. You have them. I have them. We are sinners, saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But as I am being transformed into His image, there is fruit that is growing. It is a fruit that I can see through the pages of God's Word that is ever increasing. It's like the planting of an apple tree when it's young. You might get an apple or two that are like this. It's small fruit, it's nice, but as the apple matures, as the tree matures and it grows, it begins to produce lush fruit. Some of you understand that. Some of you have been in Christ for a long time and you are producing lush fruit. And other people will come around you because of the fruit that you are showing. That's fruit in Christ that comes from abiding. It's not you. It is Jesus in you that is producing that fruit. Daniel, I'm going to move on to slide 24 here. The last point. What kind of fruit does the vine produce in its branches? What kind of fruit does it produce? John 15, verse 9 and 10. Jesus speaks and says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus holds himself up as the perfect example. You would know that. I would know that. He is the perfect example of one who abides, remains in the Father. Regardless of what came at him, he remained in the Father. No matter whether it was the test of one who said, hey, you're the Son of God, jump off of this precipice and show who you are. No matter whether it's a crowd that says, we're going to force you to become king. You gave us bread to eat. We're going to force you to become king. No matter what the temptation was, he continued to abide in his Father. His Father had a plan. It was a plan of salvation that would bring multitudes to glory. And he stayed. He remained in the Father. He is our perfect example. He perfectly kept the Father's commandments. He continually remained in his love. Now he calls us to emulate that example, his fruitfulness. And because we now abide in him, we then should display the glory of God through the bearing of good fruit. He said, bearing fruit is to my Father's glory, and thus you will be my disciples. John is saying that fruit bearing is closely bound to discipleship. The terms are interchangeable. If we are bearing fruit, we are disciples of Christ. If we're bearing fruit, we are abiding in him. These things are interchangeable because we are living in a vital union with Christ. In verse 5, remember, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what does this fruit look like? What does the fruit look like? In verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So here I believe that Jesus shows us three more types of fruit. It is the fruit of joy. It is the fruit of love. It is the fruit of obedience. The fruit of joy. The fruit of love. The fruit of obedience. These are things that are growing in our lives because we are connected to Christ, who is the vine. The fruit of joy, he says, is my joy. Well, it should be his joy. He's the vine. We're just the branches. He said this. He says, but now I'm coming to you in John 17:13. He says, but now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. That they might have my joy, Jesus said. My joy fulfilled in themselves. So you see, as we abide in Christ, then his joy is in us. This is the joy of the vine and its branches. It's a joy, if you think about it, what was Christ's greatest joy? His greatest joy was the oneness with his Father. The ongoing, continual communion with God the Father. And the true freedom of a life that is free from the bondage of sin. Consider that joy. Consider the joy of oneness with God. The joy of communing with the Father. Is there any greater joy for man who is created in the image of God than to walk with God in the cool of the day? I think and I picture, oftentimes I picture Adam who walked with God in the cool of the day. And the joy that he must have experienced as God the Father showed him, as Christ showed him a peach for the very first time. Just created him. He just created the peach. Taste this. This is going to blow your mind. And then the juice runs down. What great joy. But the joy wasn't the peach. The joy was God the Father revealing his love, his grace, his creation to him. What great joy. Great joy of the freedom. Freedom from sin. Now we can only imagine what that might be. Because that's not our experience yet. but it will be our experience. When the old things have passed away and all things are made new. When freedom from bondage is fully complete. It's greater than the joy of Moses and all of the Israelites when they crossed that Red Sea and they saw the enemy, Pharaoh, was destroyed in the Red Sea and they were finally free. No longer slaves. On the other side, they sang a song of Moses. They rejoiced before the Lord. The horse and chariot are thrown into the sea, they said. How great is our rejoicing on the other side when we are finally free from the bondage of sin that drives us to do those things that we don't want to do and interferes with the things that we do want to do. Can you imagine that joy? Is that a taste of something that you've tasted, but you can't wait to fully enjoy? It is for me. Then there is this fruit of brotherly love. Only those who abide in Christ have the capacity to love divinely. And you might say, well, I know lots of sinners who love. Well, they love you for what you can give them, or they love you as long as you lift them up. But this kind of love, this self-sacrificial love that is in God alone, He's given that to us by His Spirit. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, "And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom has been given to us." So God, by His Spirit, has poured that Spirit into your heart so that you might love. And that is the fruit of the vine in your life. The fruit of love. Last one. Obedience. Obedience. It's not something that anybody wants to talk about. Obedience. Jesus said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command." And all of us have the same response. Let me go to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves to righteousness." Friends, here is this new obedience. This new obedience is not a law. The new obedience is not a law. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. We do that at home with our kids. You shall not, you shall not. This new obedience comes from a new heart. "But thanks be to God that though you were once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching that you were committed." What does that mean? Well, number one, it means that God has given you a new heart. Remember Ezekiel 36, He says, "I'll take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." And in that heart of flesh, there is a heart of obedience. And it is obedience to the gospel. It's obedience to the truth. Obedience to the gospel is when we yield ourselves to the truth that God has revealed to us. Yes, you are a sinner. Yes, Lord, I recognize I'm a sinner. I need your grace. Yes, I give you that grace through the blood of my only Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, I see your Son on the cross. I believe with all my heart that He bore my sin on that cross. That is the obedience of faith. It is the obedience of faith wherein God has revealed Himself to me. And now I say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess with my mouth that God raised Him from the dead. And I am saved through the obedience of faith." It's not "thou shalt not." It's that God has opened our blind eyes to see who Jesus is. And by faith we say, "I believe that. With all of my heart." That is the obedience of faith. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, it tells us that God will inflict vengeance upon those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the obedience is an obedience to the good news of the gospel. That's the obedience. What are we called to? It's an obedience to the gospel. Every day you will be confronted with your sin. Every day, in thought, in word, in deed, every day you will be confronted. It is obedience to the gospel that takes me back to the cross every day to say, Lord, you bore this sin on your cross and have paid it fully for me. And I now can continue to abide in the vine through the obedience of faith in the gospel that He has purchased me with. Last, I want to show you a picture. True believers will abide in Christ. They will produce fruit in season. And because the life of Christ is in them, they will walk as He walked. Not saying that they'll never stumble in their walk, but in the end, they will continue to abide in the vine. At the center of town, this is a picture of Lahaina in Maui, on the island of Maui. And in the center of Lahaina, on the island of Maui, is a tree. You may look at this and say, well, there are one, two, three. There are a number of trees. This is one tree. This is one tree. It's one tree that takes up an entire city block. It's called a banyan tree, if I'm saying that correctly. A banyan tree grows up high, and it spreads out its branches very far. And as it spreads its branches, eventually some of those branches come down and they touch the earth again. And as soon as a branch touches the earth, it grows roots. And as it grows roots, it springs forth and spreads out more branches. And those branches go and they take over place and they come down and they touch the ground and they produce more roots. And it keeps going and it keeps going and it keeps going until it takes over an entire forest. It is an incredible tree, an absolutely incredible tree. It's unique. But as Christians, we are rooted and grounded in Christ. We have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. We are attached to Christ, who is the vine, and we are His branches. And as we go forth and bear fruit, our lives are grounded once again in Christ. And as those roots go down, we spring forth and bear much fruit. And we are able to support the other branches in Christ as we come alongside of one another and continue to support one another, rooted and grounded in Christ. As we mature, we grow deeper roots. As we mature, the branches spread forth and produce much, much fruit. And we hold one another up in Christ as a banyan tree holds up all of those branches. So we together hold one another up. In the midst of difficulty, in the midst of trial, we are connected to the vine. We will abide in Christ, and He will abide in us. God the Father lifts us up. God the Father prunes us so that we bear much fruit. We're rooted and grounded in Christ. Father, we thank You for the work of Christ on the cross that has redeemed us. Lord, we believe that You are the one, Lord, who has brought us into this living relationship. We did not create You. You created us. We did not choose You. You chose us and brought us into this relationship that is living, this relationship of love wherein salvation has come. And we are connected to You. Lord, I pray for much fruit, for fruit that would abound. I pray, Father, for a gracious move of your Holy Spirit that would draw us closer and closer to you as time goes on. That as mature branches, we would be very heavy laden with fruit. That the burdens would be cut off. That the diseased parts of us would be cleansed and washed. That there would be much fruit in the lives of these, your branches. We glory in Christ who is the vine. We thank you that he is the source of our strength, the source of our life. We thank you, Father, for allowing us the privilege of abiding in Christ today. By your grace, we abide. By your grace, we produce fruit. By your grace, Lord, we stand firm. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.